You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works. This is episode 93 of the Common Good Podcast with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. Today we feature a conversation with Dawn Hall of Transition US, part of the global Transition Towns movement. Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California, and Simple Living Works.
And I greet you, Jerry, from San Diego, a blustery San Diego today, and Jubilee Economics. Well, I have heard of Transition Towns for a while, but I needed to do some preparation for today's podcast. I just wanted to, and I've been learning a good bit about the organization called Transition USA. I find their website is really very instructive, and it's very encouraging. And some key words popped out to me as I was looking over the website. Transitions is one. Certainly, we need so much to transition out of the multi-earth civilization we're in to One Earth Living. Local communities is another. This is a very local movement, really localized action. Increasing resilience is another in the face of the fossil fuel demise. We need to encourage resilience in our communities and neighborhoods. Inner transitions, I like that because it isn't just what we do on the outside, it's how we transition within, something that is really important, this kind of adult formation, a spiritual formation that needs to happen. So the transitions that are talked about are especially peak oil, transitioning out of fossil fuels, climate change, transitioning to a way of living that is cooperative with the climate, and the economic crisis, transitioning to an economy that really works for all. So I think we should just move on to let you introduce our guest, Jerry. I just want to say this. I was struck, too, with how Jubilee circles function as transition groups. And I don't need to say more about that at this time, but it's just a great convergence of Jubilee circles with the transition groups described on the website. So tell us about our guest.
Yes, indeed. Well, Dawn Hall has had the good fortune to participate in the transition movement in a variety of capacities over the past decade, initially serving for 2 years as the education and outreach coordinator for Transition Colorado. He went on to found and direct Transition Sarasota, that's Florida, from 2010 to 2016. During that time, Dawn delivered more than 60 transition talks, screened over 40 films for a future, hosted dozens of reskilling workshops, led an effort to that harvested nearly 250,000 pounds of organic produce for those in need, organized 6 annual community-wide Eat Local Week celebrations, and compiled an Eat Local Guide with detailed listings for more than 250 related businesses and organizations. A certified transition trainer and experienced facilitator, Dawn was named co-director of Transition US in 2017. He holds a master's degree in environmental leadership from Naropa University and currently lives in Sarasota, Florida. Here's Dawn, recently recorded. Well, what a treat to get to know Dawn Hall, the co-director of Transitions United States. And the story of transition is that every community in the United States shall engage its collective creativity to unleash an extraordinary and historic transition to a future beyond fossil fuels, a future that is more vibrant, abundant, and resilient, one that is ultimately preferable to the present. Now, I think we'll start with what you call the cheerful disclaimer, Dawn, because I find that engaging, and that is that we're convinced that if we wait for the governments, it'll be too little, too late. If we act as individuals, it'll be too little. But if we act as communities, it might just be enough, just in time. So Tell us about Transition United States.
Thanks, Jerry. So the transition movement in general got its start back in 2005 in England, in a small progressive town in the southwest called Totnes. It was started by a permaculture teacher named Rob Hopkins. And for those out there who might be unfamiliar with permaculture, it was a movement that started in the 1970s in Australia as a response to the oil crisis of that time, and was really particularly looking at how we could create a permanent agriculture, a truly sustainable agriculture that provided for human needs while not exhausting the resource base which we all depend, that being the Earth's natural resources. Over the years, permaculture gradually broadened out to encompass every aspect of human society. So how can we create a permanent culture, or a culture that is truly deeply sustainable and resilient? So transition came out of permaculture like a branch from a tree of earth wisdom, and was really looking at the community scale. How do we transition entire communities from this state of oil dependence, consumerism, lots of different ways we could put it, but our current reality, to a more resilient, truly sustainable and equitable future? So Rob started a transition initiative, as we call it, in Totnes, and they did all sorts of really amazing things in just a few years, just the first few years, that involved things like a project called Totnes, the Nut Tree Capital of Britain, where they planted nut trees all over the community and trained up people to take care of them, in an effort to promote food security as well as economic development. They did oil vulnerability auditing. So they worked with local businesses to determine at what price of oil does their business model become unsustainable, and how can businesses prepare themselves for inevitable rises in fuel costs. They used open space technology to launch a variety of working groups. Open space is a format that we use a lot in the transition movement that enables self-organization among participants, that people propose a topic that they're particularly interested in, and other like-minded people come together with them to form a group to get something done in an area on a topic that they're all passionate about. So they did a number of these things. They also created a local currency. And nearby towns and cities were very inspired by what was happening in Totnes. They started to replicate the approach, but there wasn't any blueprint for it at that time. So Rob wrote his transition handbook, which came out in 2008 and went all over the world. It became a bestseller and really laid out the philosophy, the principles, and the practice of transition for anybody who wanted to take up this approach in their local community. And that inspired groups all over the world. Now there's 1,200 plus official transition initiatives in 50 countries around the world. The movement got started here in the U.S. in 2008, and we now have 163 official transition initiatives. And this isn't like a chapter network where there's national or international organization at the top who determines the agenda and pushes it down to all the chapters to implement. It's really people standing up in their local communities and saying, we want to begin creating the world that we want to see now, and seeing transition as a useful vehicle for that. In fact, transition encourages local initiatives to be highly responsive to the needs and opportunities that exist in their local community. So every transition group looks a little bit different, but what really binds them together is three things. One is an understanding about our current reality, basically that our current lifestyle in the modern industrialized world is profoundly unsustainable, and we will continue to, in an increasing way in the near future, reap the consequences of climate change, of over-industrialization, of economy that doesn't produce much of real value anymore, but really thrives off of the financial system, and a agricultural economy that is profoundly out of step with the processes of nature. So realizing that, we get engaged with our local communities as really worthwhile and undervalued leverage point for change. Most environmental initiatives are focused on either large-scale policy change, and this is beginning to change. We see more groups active in building alternative structures at the local level, but particularly when transition first showed up, a lot of groups were either focused on large-scale policy change or individual behavior change, both of which are very important. But transition kind of came in the middle of those two and said, there are a lot of things that we can do together when we come together in our local communities and start building the future we want now without waiting for a big business or government to tell us that it's okay to do so. So all these groups are working on the ground in their local communities, building creative, hopeful, and sustainable alternatives to the status quo, and mainly in four main areas: food, economy, energy, and what we could call community, or we could call participatory democracy. But basically getting people from all walks of life to get more engaged in designing their own community's future. The most concrete manifestation of this is Energy Descent Action Plan, which looks at the whole community, visions out to where we need to go to have a truly sustainable, resilient, and equitable society, and then backcasts in every area of collective life: food, energy, economy, healthcare, education, the arts, transportation, et cetera, what would need to be done every year to get there. So that's one manifestation of transition. In the food sector, you can see things like community gardens, gleaning projects, food hubs, aggregation and distribution centers, composting projects. In economy, you would see things like local investment clubs, buy local campaigns, alternative currencies. In the energy sector, advocating for better biking and walking infrastructure, for better transit-oriented development, and creating renewable energy co-ops that enable those who might not otherwise be able to afford solar wind systems themselves to have access to clean and green power. So lots of different manifestations of transition. Every group can take it where they want to. These are some examples of what we do in transition. They're all guided by a set of common principles that we respect resource limits and create resilience, that we promote inclusivity and social justice. We adopt subsidiarity, which means self-organization decision-making at the appropriate level. So it's more of a bottom-up movement than a top-down movement. We pay attention to balance. A big part of transition is also understanding, recognizing, and working with the inner transition. That the transition is not just an outer phenomenon, but we also have to look at our assumptions about the future. We have to look at reprioritizing our values, changing our lifestyles, and understanding how we got here, so that we can help people, ourselves first, and then others, through the change process, which is often difficult. But transition puts a lot of stock and a lot of attention into understanding that, so we can be more effective in accomplishing our aims. We're part of an experimental learning network that we exchange information with each other. These 1,200 plus official transition initiatives around the world, sharing our successes and challenges and learning from each other, so that we don't necessarily have to reinvent the wheel. We freely share ideas and power. Transition is a very democratic and egalitarian movement. Many transition groups use alternative governance structures like sociocracy, holacracy, consensus-based decision-making to try to model the change that we want to see in the world. We collaborate and look for synergies when transition comes into a community. We don't try to pretend that we have all the answers and that we're going to fix this all ourselves, but rather that transition can often play a key role in bringing together a lot of disparate groups that may not have worked together in the past to form a more substantial movement in that community for sustainability and social justice. And we foster positive visioning and creativity, recognizing that in our culture at large, we have many visions of dystopian futures and apocalyptic futures, but we don't really have many great detailed visions of what the future could look like, how the future could be better in living in greater harmony with the planet and with each other. So having that vision of what is possible is very important to transition and to motivating people to get involved. So yeah, we have a shared context, we have shared principles, and then we have a shared process that usually begins with transition initiatives doing some education, awareness raising about both the challenges and the opportunities that we're facing at this particular moment in history, bringing people together, building a base of support that can then grow into a more substantial initiative. The second stage of the process is often involved with really showing some kind of concrete results of what the transition initiative can accomplish. For instance, here in Sarasota, Florida, where I live, I started Transition Sarasota. And one of the projects that we started early on was our Suncoast Gleaning Project, which harvests surplus produce from local farms for the food insecure in our community. And so groups of volunteers go out to a local farm about once a week and harvest leftover produce, which would otherwise be tilled under, and provide it to our local food bank where it goes to those in need. And we've provided over 250,000 pounds of local organic produce to date. And so that demonstrates that transition ideas really can be of significant benefit to the community, that they can play a major role, and that builds credibility and brings in the potential for partnerships and reaching beyond the choir. So the third stage is about connecting. It's about bringing together not only those who already agree with us, but also those who, you know, may not have been ideologically aligned with the transition from the start, but see that it's really making a substantial difference in the community. These could be local governments, local business associations. This could be the whole broad range of a community, society. And then in the fourth stage, now that we've really brought our community together around this vision, around these ideas, having faith that they can work in the real world, we have an opportunity to do some more substantial projects. We're in the building stage. And if you're starting from scratch with a transition initiative in a local community, that's a very difficult thing to do. Often don't have the resources or the know-how or the cohesion or the community support to do those things. But in passing through these different stages of the process, you gain those things. So then you can start alternative currencies that have wide buy-in from the local business community and are able to circulate wealth within a locality. You are able to start a solar energy co-op where, as they've done in several places in England, make share offerings to the community and raise millions of dollars or millions of pounds to put up large solar arrays on project housing. Those kind of projects, land redevelopment, taking old industrial sites and turning them into green business parks. Those kind of things can happen at that stage because of the broad-based support, because of the resources that are now coming in to the initiative. And the last stage, I think, takes place on a national or global level, which is when we have enough transition initiatives and other related efforts, because there's a lot of great work that's going on out there, going in the same direction that is not called transition, and we honor that and support that as well. Is when we have enough of these efforts showing success on the ground, really thriving and really reaching people from all walks of life, then I think, and only then, will we have a truly robust national and international movements where transition is discussed at the national and international levels as a priority for our society. You know, as we talk about healthcare and immigration and all the big issues of the day, that transition will be elevated to that status based largely on the success of work on the ground. Because if it's just an idea, it's not going to hold much water for people. People will see it as a kind of progressive agenda that, you know, may or may not work. But if we can prove it on the ground, on the community level, in thousands of places around the world, then we start to have a movement that can have influence at the highest levels of our society and really change our culture and bend the trajectory of history in a positive direction. So that is transition in a nutshell, and I'm very happy to answer any questions you might have.
We'll return momentarily to our conversation with Don Hall of Transition US. In 2018, we've arranged our podcasting so that on the first of the month, you'll be able to hear a new episode of One Earth Living produced by the Common Good Podcast. On the 15th of each month, a new episode of One Earth Living produced by Simple Living Works. This adds another option for you each month on both websites, simplelivingworks.org and the Jubilee website, casajubileo.org. Now let's return to our conversation with Don Hall of Transition US. I just want to make it very clear that people are not working out there on their own by themselves, just with high hopes, that Transition United States provides a lot of help, not top-down kind of control, but a lot of help with things like webinars and newsletters and workshops, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, and we're doing more and more all the time. We had our first national gathering last year in the Twin Cities in Minnesota for over 300 people, which was an amazing gathering, 43 workshops and 6 intensive trainings and keynote speakers and so forth. We're currently doing about 2 webinars a month that are free. They're on our website, transitionus.org, and we got a couple coming up in February. We do a variety of trainings. We have a 2-day launch training, which gives people everything that they need to really set up and run a local transition initiative in their community. And we're going to be doing that online for the first time starting in March. We should have that up on our website in about a week from now. And do other trainings on effective collaboration, because that's often a stumbling block for folks who start transition initiatives, that learning how to work together well really determines the quality of the work that we can do outside of the groups, the work in the community that's really the main focal point of transition. But in order to do that successfully, we really need to work on our group process and interpersonal relationships. So we do things like that. We publish reports and guides for how to do various aspects of transition. We consult with individual transition initiatives and help them with troubleshooting, help them with doing collaborative fundraising. And we have several programs, things that people can take and implement in their local communities, like our Transition Streets curriculum, which is a 7-session workbook where neighbors can get together and look at their food choices and look at their water usage and their energy usage and the waste that they create, and learn how to be more sustainable in those areas. We also have a Reconomy program that highlights and works to replicate some of the local economy models that Transition has developed, like alternative currencies and investment clubs and entrepreneur showcases and social enterprise. And those are things that local communities can take and put into action. Our role is to provide support, not to dictate what a transition initiative does. And we love to hear feedback from all the transitioners around the country, letting us know exactly what they most need so we can respond to that.
One interesting word that may be misunderstood is in the energy descent action plan, The word is descent, D-E-S-C-E-N-T, yes. Not D-I-S-S-E-N-T. But it could, I suppose, mean either one. But the idea is to come down off that fossil fuel platform, mm-hmm. come down off that fossil fuel throne, and live without all that waste. But it could be also dissent, that we're dissenting against that fossil fuel organized economy.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I hadn't thought of it in that way before, but yeah, it could certainly work both ways. And I think dissent is a particularly difficult concept for us as Americans because the history of America, of, you know, colonizing this country and manifest destiny spreading to the West and, you know, continuous economic and technological improvement, we've become very attached to this idea of ascent and bigger, better, faster, more. To say dissent can be troubling to some folks. But what we're saying is that a life with less oil, I think as you read out at the beginning of this show, life with less oil could be ultimately preferable to the present because it is about, and this sort of speaks to the dissent, D-I-S-S-E-N-T part, you know, it's partly taking our power back. As individuals and as communities, we've developed kind of a spectator culture in the U.S. Where big business and big government make a lot of the decisions in our life, and we feel overwhelmed about how to change that. But at the local level, we can really get involved and see the fruits of our labor, see the changes that we can make. And I think that's extremely important, and it can be a very big aha for people. I know it was for me when I learned there's all these things that I can do without waiting for permission, without having to change any laws, although sometimes laws need to be changed. Without, you know, waiting for somebody who's perceived as more of an expert in this area to lead the charge or say that it's okay. Transition is really about us all stepping up into our creative potential and creating the world that we want to see now. And so that dissent can be a creative process, and it's really up to us what that looks like. But some of the things that it might look like is more interconnected society, a more communal society. We are definitely suffering in this country from an epidemic of loneliness and disconnection, which I think that being involved in transition, I know that because I've seen it in many, many occasions, is really a revelation and changes people's lives for the better. Getting engaged in these kind of communal efforts really can bring substantial meaning and happiness into one's life. And I think that's a big part of the energy descent. So it's not just we're descending in terms of the amount of overall energy that we're using, which is extremely important, but it's an ascent in terms of community, in terms of overall life satisfaction, in terms of being integrity with ourselves and our values, and our compassion and care for one another.
Now, Don, in speaking about descent, are we assuming that we're going to confront greedy capitalist fundamentalists, or are we just going to let them die on their own?
Well, I think it's going to be a combination of the two. I think that the current system is very powerful, and it has the wind at its back still. so to speak. But the wind is shifting, and I think that these systems will naturally fall apart on their own to some degree, but we also can't really just sit back and wait. You know, I don't agree with people who are eager to see a collapse of Western society, because I think that there's a lot of potential suffering there. We're not prepared for the systems that we rely upon for our food and our water and our shelter and everything else that we need in life to collapse all of a sudden. That we need to start putting into place the alternatives to the status quo, whether those be in the energy, economic, food sector, healthcare, et cetera, as much as possible prior to widespread systems collapse. And I think that, you know, it is happening, and I'm not sure I'll remember who said this quote. I think it might have been William Gibson. Said the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. So we can see some of that in places like Puerto Rico. You know, where the electricity still isn't back on for a large number of people. But to build those alternatives now, as much as we can, to get an idea out of a positive, hopeful future, because I think as current systems begin to disintegrate, if people don't have a good understanding of what's going on, there is a possibility of people preaching miracles that are not aligned, you know, that they can get the economy back and running again to where it was, and they can, you know, keep the energy flowing. When some of these things are constrained by the hard limits of nature that even the most powerful government doesn't have control over. And also scapegoating, I think, is a major danger as we shift into a time of greater and greater turbulence, where the faults could be pinned on one group of people, and instead of coming together, we become self-defensive and, you know, try to build our own little bunkers to protect ourselves at the expense of our neighbors and our communities. So it's really crucial that we do get out there and build the alternative structures now, that, you know, people do get involved politically and try to make a difference there in whatever way can be made now. But as the current system begins to fail, as it will inevitably do, because it's not sustainable, and sustainable means that it cannot continue indefinitely, that we'll have more and more people looking for answers, looking for a path forward that makes sense. And by getting the ideas of transition and community resilience out there now, and by building some of the alternative structures now so that people can see and have faith in them, I think we're setting ourselves up for a moment when there is widespread distress for people to pick this as a pathway forward rather than giving in to people who preach miracles and scapegoat others. We're going to be doing a second movement strategy session in Pittsburgh in August or September, bringing together community resilience movement leaders from all over the country, as well as social justice leaders from Pittsburgh and elsewhere, to have a substantial dialogue about how community resilience movement can incorporate greater diversity and greater commitment to social justice, and use the skills that we have to help those who are most in need right now. So that's going to be a big event. We're still working out the details. And the only other thing I'd mention at this point is we're going to be launching a storytelling series very soon called 10 Stories of Transition in the U.S. That will feature 10 of the most inspiring, most highly replicable transition projects throughout the country. Those will be published initially on our website and then collected into a digital publication. But if people want to see what transition really looks like on the ground and some of the most inspiring examples, that will be a good vehicle for learning about that. And our first story should be published probably first week in February.
You've been listening to the conversation that Jerry Iverson had with Don Hall of Transition US, part of the Global Transition Town movement. I want to say a little bit about the Jubilee, the One Earth Jubilee newsletter, Jubileo. The March issue is being sent out to subscribers, and I want to invite you to become a subscriber. It's free. And it will include, just to give you a little hint of what's there, an article on 10 reasons for being part of a One Earth Jubilee delegation to Mexico, that a trip that's hosted by the Jubilee Circles there. Fascinating and inspiring and deeply informative. There will also be an article on the Altar of Growth written by a banker, Pat Trahan. There will be an article on Pushing Back on Extreme Wealth by Chuck Collins from the Institute for Policy Studies, and also the author of the foreword to my book, Blinded by Progress. And then also an article on There is So Much Meanness. Why is there so much meanness going on? And it really, just to give you a hint, it has to do with people who aren't following the call to the deep call within our souls and within the earth to live within cooperation. Well, if you aren't already a subscriber, please do it. The Jubilee News will come to you four times in your inbox. Four times in a year is what I was trying to say. All right, Jerry, what's new with you?
Well, would you like to make a donation to the Common Good Podcast? Just
sure, I'd love to.
Just click on the donate button on the Casa Jubileo website. That's CASAJUBILEO.org. Casa Jubileo. Jubilee is a mostly volunteer 501c3 nonprofit organization, so your donations are tax deductible. Donate $50 or more all at once or in quarterly payments, and receive upon request an autographed copy of Lee's book, From Egos to Eden, Our Heroic Journey to Keep Earth Livable, released in 2017. By donating, you'll know that at this time of crisis, you're making a difference. Well, we've made some significant changes at Simple Living Works in 2018. The Simple Living Works Weekly Digest has been discontinued, though the monthly digest of links to articles on colleagues' websites continues on the Simple Living Works site and is updated weekly. The Simpler Living Weekly Nudge and the Daily Nudge both continue. The Simple Living Works podcast has been reduced from 2 episodes per month to 1, released on the 15th, alternating with the Common Good podcast, released on the 1st. Both podcasts will be sent to the other subscribers, so subscribers are welcome to comment on this new arrangement. If, for example, you don't choose to receive one of the two, feel free to ignore it or delete it. The February mid-month bonus episode features Richard Heinberg of the Post Carbon Institute on choosing to get off fossil energy, our best local choices. Future episodes of Simpler One Earth Living feature educator and author Mark Birch and Susan Taylor of Just Financial Advisors on her new book, What About Our Money? Subscribe to my Simpler Living Daily Nudge to get quick reminders of Lee's blogs, The Common Good Podcast, Simple Living Works Podcast, and other intriguing happenings at events such as Non-Conform Freely Celebrations, ways to honor rites of passage and holidays without consumerism. Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on the Common Good Podcast Facebook page. Time to wrap up this episode of Simpler One Earth Living Podcast. If you're a regular listener, you've heard our closing comments, so we'll say goodbye now. But if you're a newer listener, here's what we'd like you to know about the podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast and to our Jubilee Economics and One Earth Pod blogs. We post nearly every week, so if you're a subscriber, you'll be notified when we post something new. Subscriptions are free. Subscribe to our blog through our website. Subscribe to the Common Good Podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast service. Urge your friends to do the same. Have you liked us on Facebook yet? Well, please do, and leave us a message. We don't hear from you nearly enough. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with Lee Van Ham of the One Earth Project, wishing you well as we strive together to bring One Earth economics into being for the common good.